And I know, Josh, you're a prophecy buff, and so are probably so many of your listeners. And I have an identical twin brother, and he showed me a book in the early 80s. And even though I was raised Christian, I kind of got brainwashed in high school and beyond that, and kind of lost my way. And he came along, and I think most of your listeners might remember this book, but he said, "You need to read this book." And it was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And I still have a copy of that, and I'm still a fan of Hal Lindsey. And I read the book, and it just scared the crap out of me. And so from that point on, I said, well, I want to find out whether or not this is legitimate. I want to know whether it's accurate, they're not making it up, and whether or not I can find this information in the Bible. And so I started to read the Bible, and I started to read anything I could get my hands on, and that just led me back to Jesus and to Christianity. And I have been a fanatic about not only prophecy but my other passions as well, and doing my best on my quest to be the best person I can be. But I have to admit, I'm a sinner like most people, and I do stumble. But that's how I came back to Jesus was, and it's amazing. And I thought, you know, wouldn't that be nice if somebody could actually write a book that might influence people? And that was one of the things that I wanted to do with this book, was to write a book that might influence people and talk about things that they may not be aware of and aspects about the Bible they might have overlooked. And as I went through on the research on this, I started coming across so much material that I didn't know or didn't believe was in the genre. And so to be able to bring so much new information to the genre and prophecy and how it all ties together and connect dots that I don't believe other writers have connected before. So it was all that sort of coming together at the same time. Yeah, so I mean, that was in 1980 or 81. So you can imagine how long I've been on the path of researching prophecy and things like that, matching it up with history and mythology, which are my other passions. The avenues that I researched, I mean, it really gets into the areas that I think a lot of people might find on very thin ice. And I have to tell you, it was concerning, and how would I handle it and everything like that. But what I wanted to do was, as I continued on the research, I seemed to see these same stories that were popping up over and over and over and over and over. And they were consistent with the Bible from a macro level and a directional level, but from a different perspective. So either from polytheism or from secret societies, it matters not where it came from. They were telling a very, very similar story, but from their perspective. And so I wanted to bring that information out so that people could see that this is a very, very common story right around the world. And I also wanted to make sure that I could let those societies or religions or scriptures speak for themselves and not sort of try and twist those words or anything, so that it could be considered accurate. Because everything that I put in the book, I believe, is also weighed, measured, and balanced against the accuracy of what the Bible says. And so there's really nothing in there that is contradicting what the Bible is saying. And you may find it challenging. You may find it that I've never thought of that. You may even find it disturbing. But everything that I have in the book is also backed up by the Bible. And so everything is measured against the Bible. So if anybody has any fears of that, please don't. And if anybody has any fears that I lost my soul in reading some of those items, many of them were interesting, lots were not. But no, I remain a Christian 100%. I'm not going to support Islam here in any fashion, or the fascists or the religion organizations. But what I will say is that all that, reading those other religions, it just made me more of a Christian, more sound in my beliefs. There is nothing that I'm transposing from those beliefs into my beliefs. I just use them for context and to demonstrate that there's a very common narrative out in the world that I think people need to learn about. The Genesis 6 conspiracy is a 6,000-year investigation, a connect the dots investigation into how secret societies and the Nephilim and the mystical religions that rose around the Nephilim and the secret societies and the ancient knowledge partnered to bring about the first apocalypse known as the Flood. How those three organizations and descendants of them crossed the Flood, how they affected things like Babel and Sodom and Gomorrah and the conquest, and how they imprinted our history all the way to the present time, what they're doing today, and how they plan on bringing about the end time, inclusive of the universal religion, world government, and the Antichrist. I think that people will be very, very surprised. Maybe not all, but most will be surprised that whether or not you're talking about Freemasonry accounts from before the Flood, which they have an extensive record of, whether or not you're looking at Greek mythology or the Vedas and the various holy scriptures out of India or the Popol Vuh from the Kishamaya and the Aztecs and the Central Americans, it doesn't matter where you go around, they all tell the same story, what happened before the Flood, a different perspective from a polytheist perspective, but they tell the same story about creation, and they tell the same story about how humankind went wrong, how they participated in helping to produce the giants. Whether they're not always called Nephilim, they're called Titans and Anunnaki and many, many other names around the world, and how these giants helped corrupt the ancient world and caused the Flood. And so that, I think that's one of the first unique testimonies that a lot of it brings together for a lot of people. Some of the other unique things is that this is a conspiracy that has been going on since the before the Flood, and is the same conspiracy and the same organizations that have worked throughout history and are working today. And they all tell about this complete conspiracy all the way through the 6,000 years. And none of this is, I think, documented or connected. And what I particularly do is I bring in how and where mysticism arose, how across the Flood as well, what its relationship with is with the giants. And when we get into the giants, and in particularly the giants, it's the descendants of the giants, it's the bloodlines of the giants, and how they have survived, at least from their perspective, how they've survived, and the bloodlines that produced the royal houses that again have kept their genealogies throughout all of history and prehistory, producing all of the major royal families around the world, and how they still control the world today. And so if that is of interest, people, and how those bloodlines are related to the modern versions of mysticism, whether we're talking about Gnosticism or New Age or Theosophy or Eastern religions, or about modern secret societies like the Illuminati or the Rosicrucians or the Bilderbergers, or, you know, the all of these different groups that they spawn, I think your readers will find this a very interesting read. Everybody knows in the Bible we begin with Adam and Eve, and what secret societies and mysticisms and these other religions believed is that they received information from heaven, whether that was legitimate information or illegitimate, but they believe it was legitimate information from God in while they were in Eden. But after the banishment, two branches formed, one being the branch of Cain and one being the branch of Seth. And that Cain took this message, and through his first son Enoch, they corrupted these sciences. And they added to it other information from the dark angels and created religions around it to secret this information that seemingly they developed to levels of unbelievable proportions, and to such proportions that they felt it had to be kept secret for two reasons. One, it might destroy the world. Two, they didn't feel that the mundane average human being was worthy enough to have that information. And so they created initiated societies and have done so ever since. Everybody's going to be fairly familiar with those sciences, and it's geometry, which is the fifth science, commonly known as masonry within the craft. It's astronomy, it's music, it's science in general, it's the arts, it's basic human knowledge that's broken down into seven, and arithmetic, obviously, into seven different groups. But it's what was it? It's what they were able to do with this knowledge that is the scary part. And they actually believe that they built the pyramids and other monuments like that around the world before the flood, and that they took this society to a level probably similar to in technology to what we have today, and maybe developed in different areas and a little bit differently right now. And so they believe it is the secrets to the universe. And so when you hear about it today, it's the seven liberal arts, and you'll hear that through Greek mythology as well. It's the same sciences, but it's what they did with them that's really important. This is just not a one-off story in the Bible, and it was so important that it was recorded and part of the memories of all cultures in the world. So something that it's like the great one world myth. It's our common legacy and heritage, and it's like the ancients are whispering to us that we need to go back and learn about prehistory. What happened? What caused the first apocalypse? Because as we all know, or most people of prophecy know, that the end time will be like the days of Noah. And so I think when our Messiah says, learn about the days of Noah, we ought to take that with the veracity and importance that his words speak to, and learn how that's going to be important to bring about the second apocalypse, this time by fire. And so if Nephilim and secret societies and mysticism was a big part of the first apocalypse, they're likely going to be part of this apocalypse. One of their sciences that they developed afterwards to help guide and control, so reason over faith, as they like to refer to it as, reason over knowledge, and that is the art of philosophy, which they believe, and it's actually part of their religion. They've just called it a science, that the science of philosophy or the religion of philosophy dictates how all of science ought to be interpreted. And people should not find this surprising, because if you look at the rise of modern education and modern science, it goes back really to the birth of the Royal College in England. And the Royal College, also known as the Invisible College. And this society, this organization, all of the education institutions still report to today as the parent organization. It was formed by the secret societies. It was formed by Rosicrucians and Freemasonry to pay tribute to the great architect of the universe, which is another name they use for Lucifer. And I'll cover that off in my book as people get deeper into the book. So we should not find this surprising. We should not find it surprising that science is inundated with symbols, let's say the medical association with the almost Hermes motif with the snake around the what they would call the tree of Eden in their belief system, or that there are initiations or things that they swear to, whether you're in engineering or whatever. This is all part of the same belief system. So people being educated there are being brainwashed with a philosophy which is actually a religion. Is just another form of the Nephilim doctrine. Whether or not it's a new man by bioengineering, or new man by genetics, or DNA manipulation, or fallen angels copulating with women to create hybrids, or DNA manipulation by aliens, or aliens creating hybrids, it is the same philosophy, and it is the same philosophy that they were trying to do in Germany with the new man and the super race, because it's the same belief system. And again, I'll spend a complete chapter on the Third Reich and lay that all out for people so that they understand it's the same story and the same belief system and the same end goal. The Third Reich was about bringing on a 1,000-year reign just as a copy of the millennial reign in the Bible. And the new age that they're trying to bring about is another millennial reign. Reign as well. It's just they believe that they're going to win the battle, and they're going to have their belief system as opposed to the Christian belief system or the Jewish belief system or monotheism.